Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. You can also watch it on my YouTube channel, and it will get uploaded as well to the Lilydale Blog Talk Radio site. That's an audio-only feature. A lot of people like to see and hear us, so I encourage you to follow and share Willa White Medium so that you can be notified as to the various events and guests that I have on the show. And today I'm delighted to have as my special guest, Joseph Scheel. Thanks for being here today, Joe.
Thanks, Will. I appreciate it very much. Glad to be here.
Yes. And yeah. Joe has been on the show before, so I encourage you to look back at the archive videos on Willa White Medium, and you can enjoy other things that we've talked about relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, more, all of those wonderful topics that's associated with my particular podcast show. And for those of you who don't know who Joseph Scheel is, he is an evidential spiritual medium, and he does focus a lot of his mediumship on spirit art. And today we're going to be talking about his perspective on spirit art, and he'll be showing a few pieces of his art that he's done for clients in the past. And I think it'll be a fascinating conversation that will develop over the next hour or so, so that we can educate you more about spiritual art. Joe has for many years been a Lilydale registered medium, and it's something that so Lilydale is in his blood, so to speak, as well. But it's something where if you want to get in with Joe, keep in mind that it's a waiting list only. And there are a lot of workshops and classes that he's offering that you're more likely to be able to get into in the near future. We'll cover a little bit more of that later on. But in terms of our show for today, we'll be focusing on spirit art. So Joe, let's tell them what you feel spirit art to be and how that is happening for you.
Well, how is it happening to me? It's happened to me pretty much my whole life, as far as I know, looking back on it. But the way I look at it today, and then I'll tell you the story of how it came about, I suppose. But the way I look at it today is that I believe in a tremendous amount of evidence for the work we do as mediums to have people understand and experience the other side, that there is life beyond this life, and that is the hope and promise of real mediumship and authentic mediumship, is that we are able to present enough evidence that someone can make their own conclusions that this couldn't be anything other than the truth, that life goes on, and that there is a real conversation between us, the medium, and spirit, and the client, whoever that may be, that they were all in the midst of that wonderful moment, that miraculous moment, if you will. And spirit art, which is, for me, is spirit portraiture. I really try to put the faces of those who I see in my mind or feel or impressed upon, and different senses can bring that to its fruition. It can bring it up and show it in a way. And so when we, as a spirit artist, try to put that picture to a face to the game, if you will. They're trying to say, where is the face that goes with this information and tie it together, if you will. It gives the client a tangible picture, something to bring with them. And as they say, a picture paints a thousand words. So it's this extra evidence that this person is actually here, and look, I see him. I see who he is, and I see how they are. And there's been times where I've drawn the same person at different ages throughout their life, in the same sitting, you know, when they were little, when they were teenager, when they were middle-aged, and when they were old. In other words, the life story of somebody is important to those loved ones who are still here and knew of those stories, knew of life itself. And when they see the faces of people coming through, then they're it's actually just mind-blowing. And still to this day, when I draw one and people hold up their phone with a picture on it, even on a Zoom session or something, it's just like, oh my God. It's like, I actually have to sit there and say sometimes, how the heck did I do that? You know, even though I know how it works to a point, there is something beyond my knowledge, something beyond my being, something that I'm aided in and carried to with the spirit art. So it is an involvement of the spirit world or the place of intelligence with the instrument, which is me. So I really see spirit artists today as an instrument of peace, an instrument of hope and of healing. And when someone can really hone their skills and do spirit art, they give this added and extra set of information and criteria, all this tangible stuff to look at and see that, you know, look into the eyes of the person. There's times when I draw pictures and I look at it and say, man, it's just a picture. You know, it's just that's a face. It's two eyes, a nose, and a mouth, you know, and there's no life in it. And usually those go in the circular file or those go to the side, you know. But when we really have spirit, there's actually, you can look into the picture and feel the life of that person. It's not like looking at a picture in a magazine, you know. It's like, oh my God, there's something more special to this portrait, to the presence of that person. So some people call it painting them back to life. You know, I don't necessarily think that they're ever gone, you know, so they're not painting them back. They're just, we're becoming aware of their existence and their continued life. And we're having that real time conversation with them. So spirit art to me can be, as far as the portrait art goes, just a really special time with the spirit world and an interaction, a camaraderie, I would say an immersion into the spirit world and letting them have my being, my skills to work with. Yes. So in the blending of the minds, they can use me to show themselves. And that's an incredible thing to have happen. Now, did I always understand it to that extent or that way? No, you know, I drew my first spirit drawings back when I was 5. That's the first ones I remember. And it was so strange that the house ended up being inundated. My mother called the priest, you know, called the church. All of a sudden the nuns and the priest were there. And before you know it, the house was filled with nuns and priests. And the Monsignor himself came and I just thought it was a party. So I thought it was great. I was only 5 years old. I'm thinking, well, this is cool. But when the Monsignor asked me who the people were in the picture, I looked at him like he had 3 heads because I was like, you're the adult, you're the other one's supposed to know, you know. But I named them. And so this was happening to me kind of unsolicited long before I actually understood what it was. And I went on in my life from that day forward. My grandmothers, you know, I'm old Boston Irish, so I have two wonderful Irish grandmothers that were tea leaf readers from Ireland. And so I have to be very correct about how I say things, otherwise I'll get slapped from the other side here. They're wonderful.
Possibly, yeah.
Both wonderful women, but both tough as nails. But they would drag me to churches in Boston and all around to do healings, to do things. I mean, when I was little, I would be, you know, doing things and seeing amazing things. And so my thought was that I was supposed to be a priest, or that's, you know, I guess if you're Boston Irish, you know, you're going to be a fireman, a policeman, or a priest, you know. And that was the one that I was chosen for, I guess. But
you have to represent your family, right? You have to represent your family.
Well, you have to kind of represent, yeah. But it's also, maybe they didn't think I was capable of anything else. I don't know. But anyway, I really kind of pursued spiritual matters from that time in my life forward, because I felt that was more natural to me to think in a spiritual way. So no matter what I did, no matter what business I started, or I've owned several businesses, and no matter what I did, I was always frustrated because I wasn't happy with it, you know, until I just kind of pushed all that aside, or it was taken from me, whatever the case may be, to the point where living a more spiritual life was extremely important to me, and still is, and it's still an effort, you know, it's still an effort to kind of break away from being caught up in the humanness and live, keep my feet on the ground, you know, solid common sense, et cetera, and still live, you know, knowing that there's more to this story of life than we actually look at every day, and that can really enrich us. So over the years, I kind of chased the world, if you will, to try to be normal, knowing full well that I wasn't, you know. And what happened was later on, I was in the seminary to become a permanent deacon in the Catholic Church. And probably the hardest time of my life, because I was also drawing pictures and people were recognizing them. And I wasn't doing like mediumship sessions. I was just doodling because I'm dyslexic. And when I read, if I don't doodle, I fall asleep. You know, I kind of get lost in the words and I just get, and I'm off in this drift. So instead I doodle and I leave that drifted mind over here while I'm reading the book and taking in what I'm reading. Mm-hmm. And people started to, in the library at the seminary, they started recognizing the people as people that had passed on. And that freaked me out something awful. I thought, I've finally done it. I finally gone off the deep end and they're going to put me in a straitjacket and put me away somewhere. I mean, what am I doing? What is this crazy? And then I had one old priest that you're being attacked by the devil, you know, this type of thing. It's like, oh, come on. There's nothing evil about this. There's nothing malice or malicious. It is a beautiful thing. These, you know, so one guy asked me for his picture of his uncle that I had drawn, and I didn't realize it was his uncle. He insisted it was his uncle, you know, and I said, look, buddy, you can have it if you want. I said, Tom seemed like a nice guy. And he said, how'd you know his name? And that is when it struck me, what's going on? You know, how did I know his name? This is craziness.
Well, you've been having that since you were five, to some extent. You repressed at different points.
Yeah, I suppressed it completely. I mean, I knew it was strange or weird, but I wasn't about to tell everybody, hi, I'm weird, you know. I just kept it to myself because I figured everybody will think I'm nuts, you know. And it was a very strange feeling. So I was a very shy kid in high school, very, very shy all the way through. I, you know, put me with my guitar and behind a microphone, I wasn't shy at all. But put me in a small group of people and I could barely talk, you know. I was so afraid that they'd figure me out or something, that I was weird. So today is much different because it's evolved over time and over many, many years of doing this work. It's evolved to a greater understanding of what it really is going on. I've been very diligent about always trying to discover more, always trying to find out more. I have involved myself in scientific experiments and things like that with different universities in order to figure out what is really going on with my mind, what is really going on with my being, how does this really work? Now, I don't think any of us really know 100%. However, we've got a handle on some of the pathways or some of the nuances that it takes in order to put ourselves in a position of receiving and understanding and processing the information that is there. Beyond mind reading, beyond, you know, telepathy, beyond these just intuitive takes or even psychic calculations, you know, like just to trying to figure somebody out by, I know this about them and I know this about them, so it must be this, you know, this calculating what's beyond all that. What is truly coming and in real time conversation, and how does it come out on a paper to be an actual drawing that is maybe not perfect, but pretty close to accurate.
It's not realism in the sense of like a photograph feel.
It's not a photograph. Right. And I think some people are disappointed by that, but I kind of shake my head and go, okay.
It's better than a stick figure.
You know, well, sometimes I go, you try it. You know, it's done very quickly too. If I was doing my fine art, which, you know, can see that too on my, go to more on my website, you can see some of my find that. I am very exacting. I try to be very clear and very.
I think that that's a problem, or should I say a good thing that many artists have, that idea of, I want to capture this as perfectly as I possibly can. But you're right, when you're doing spirit art, you don't have time for all of that perfectionism. You just have to allow it to flow. And I think an important thing to mention is that with spirit art, you will not be asked to provide a photograph of your loved one before a session. That is, you know, spirit artists, if they are doing this in the true blue sense, it'll just happen on the page. And then other people will say, hey, that looks just like so-and-so. And then they'll show, like Joe said, the phone picture, or they'll send a picture, email a picture. Confirmation.
Yeah, we never have a picture in advance, never have an understanding in advance. And there's even times when I'm reading for a woman and she says, I want you to draw my mother. And I'll say, no. And she'll say, why not? I said, because she looks just like you, you know? Yeah. And I would be drawing you. And it's almost cheating.
To me. It's almost cheating.
So, with that. Absolutely. So if you understand that your mom looked just like you, let me draw somebody that I couldn't have known, you know, and wouldn't have seen. That looks different in your family. And that's what I do. I try to draw a different person. So, and I got involved with this in such a way that I began to evolve with it. And I was doing fairs and things like this, these fairs, and they're crazy. They're energy suckers. They you feel drained after a weekend of one of those.
It can be good practice for a beginner to
say. It's a great place to cut your teeth, no doubt about it. But I remember you and I doing some and your mom and stuff that, you know, places, and it was one of those weekends where we got snowed in, you know, I don't know, somewhere in Pennsylvania or something, but we got snowed in and nobody came. Like nobody could get there because we're all in this hotel. And so to entertain each other, we did readings for each other. And, you know, Milton, we all bought way too much stuff from the booths of, you know, stone booths and all that stuff. So anyway, I decided to try some different things and I did, and I started doing multiple drawings. And so that became my forte for a while. That became what I did, was I would do multiple drawings of people. And it started off with like maybe 5 family members. And at this point in time, I've drawn as many as 25 family members in one sitting.
On one page.
On one page, all accurately. And it became a process that really started to take me to places that maybe I should have gone, maybe I shouldn't have gone, because I started to get sick doing them. I started to get physically ill. And I said, well, that's not good. You know, that's not the way to go. So I realized what I had been doing. And with the help of some friends of mine, they said, well, maybe you're going too far. You know, you're going there instead of asking them to come here. And I was doing this, what one university called rapid return. So I was going, getting a piece of information and coming back, you know, hundreds of times a minute. So when I was getting ill, physically ill, the scientists there, the doctors there said, what's happening is you're getting seasick. Your mind is going like this.
Oh.
So exactly what it felt like. I felt like I was going to turn green and, you know, so the way to fix that was to ask them to come to me and sit with me and get more control over my readings. In other words, I was just letting myself be taken, and I'll draw that person, and I'm racing around like the wind instead of sitting in control. Today, I do them, and they're much more controlled, and I'm actually able to draw more people because I can say, okay, you first, you know, and actually have a conversation with them, say, okay, now I'm going to draw you. And it's not as bizarre as it used to be. And believe me, I've watched it. I think one time I was like filmed by the History Channel or something, and I watched it and I went, you can't really say that, because I was really taking the people on physically and So I was animating some people and drawing others, and all this stuff was happening. I looked bizarre. I looked like I had lost my mind. And I said, no, that's just too, that would be too frightening for people. They wouldn't understand it first view. They would just not understand the process of what I've been through to get to this place. Mm-hmm. So with further process and further experience, if you will, I've come to know how to approach all this a lot better than I used to. That's all.
Mm-hmm. And it does take patience, and it does take making sure spirits are showing up in an orderly fashion, so to speak.
Right.
I think one of the biggest things
it takes for any medium, especially a spirit artist, because when you turn that picture around, you go, "Is this mom?" And you're nervous. You're nervous. I think it takes a lot of courage, but I also think it takes a tremendous amount of trust, and trust in God, trust in spirit. That it's a really important thing. I mean, it's one of the things that attracted me to spiritualism in the first place, was that in their principles, this trust in God, that God was everywhere, God was all things. And that kind of solidified my effort forward to investigate this whole aspect and this philosophy of spiritualism, because what's that all about, and where some of it's been twisted and turned and bastardized over the years, I believe at its core there is a tremendous amount of beauty in this personal relationship with God and with the spirit world. That mediums have been given this great gift of being able to perceive in one sense or another, or many senses, this other world, this continuation. And what's more hopeful in life that, this isn't it. This isn't the destination. This is just the journey forward.
So let's share with them a few pieces of your art, and you can explain a little bit about how those came about, what the process was for you.
Well, I have a book of some old pictures here. So I'll switch my screen and.
So you use a particular kind of paper, and then you use.
Yeah, I use a pad like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is my notepad. So I take notes. Sometimes I draw pictures on that, which can come out, and that's what I have on here. Like I might take some notes, and then I'll draw a picture on there of the person on the notes. And sometimes several people, as I'm working through, who should I really draw? And then I ask the sitter, or the person having the session, or the person in the audience, I ask, who would you like me to draw? Out of the people I've already talked about. So I already know them, I've already described them, and then which one is more important to you? So then I'll draw that person. Mm-hmm. So in this book, there are several that I've kept. People have sent me the pictures after the session and been kind enough. And these, out of thousands and thousands of pictures I've done, these are a few, so I'm just going to get all this junk out of the way. And at times I'll do them in pastels and or colored pencil, and sometimes just black and white with charcoal pencil, or I use a graphite pencil, which is a solid graphite pencil. Mm-hmm. And in my spirit art program that's underway right now, I talk about the different mediums that you can use, and this is a graphite pencil with a gum eraser. And so that I kind of hold it like that to draw with. This is more of a charcoal pencil, so it might get a little darker that way. And then on, these people are come through with me, and then I see them, and I saw him in his casual shirt, Here is a picture of him at a wedding with his wife or whatever, and I drew this for the wife who had lost this gentleman.
And that's after you've given identifiers, and right. acknowledge that you've had acknowledgement yeah. that you're connected
you, with I used to the ask person people,
in spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to ask people to send the picture to me. Mm-hmm. And now people have gotten to know me so well, they bring one with them and keep it in their purse until such time as I'm they done. and then they show it to me. Or today people have it on their phone, you know, which is really interesting. The first time I ever got a phone one done. So
you start in the traditional mediumship way. You get the identifier.
I usually spend time doing a reading, if you will. Yeah. And then somewhere towards the end of the reading, I say, well, who would you like me to draw? Or by that time, I know who they want me to draw. You know, they've lost their sure. son, and I know it's the son I should be drawing, you know?
So at that point, you pick up the pad and paper, and you're able to then transfer onto the page what you're seeing clairvoyantly.
Right, right. And it's not just clairvoyantly is probably the easiest way to do it, but I see them in front of me, and I ask them to sit still and stay still and be there. However, and two people have helped me over the years. First off, I was at Plymouth Church, and I used to play music. I used to do an inspired song or a spirit song, if you will, at that service every week. And then one time they had this class afterwards, and so it was called Spirit Art, and I was like, "Oh wow, what the heck is that?" You know, I really didn't know, even though I was doing it, I didn't know what it was. And this wonderful woman named Bonnie White, perhaps you know her,
my mother,
was giving the class, and I went down, and she was just a sweetheart, and we were drawing these little pictures and stuff, and I was just like, "This is fascinating that actually somebody's actually doing this, that I'm not alone anymore." I'm not the only one that does this. And at the time, I thought I was. And then later on, I was doing all those multiple pictures, and someone introduced me to Rita Berkowitz. And Rita was sitting on the back of my boat over in Chautauqua Lake, and we had taken a ride on my boat, and she was sitting there, and I said, she goes, "Do you have any questions for me?" And I said, "Yeah, how do you do single pictures? I mean, I'm always seeing like tons of people." And she said, "Just ask them to sit still." And I went, "Oh, duh." So she helped me tremendously by that one little statement. Sure. I just went, okay, this is a whole new world now, yeah. You know? It was like I was almost afraid to ask questions, you know, and at that point I began to learn that, okay, enough's enough. Stop playing around. Just start having conversations, start learning from them, from the spirit themselves. And that way I began to do that.
Sure.
So, you know, and so over the years I've done these things and just, it's always remarkable to me, the likeness, and it's always something that moves me many times to tears, because I know that God is love, and I know that this place is a place of love, no matter what that person was like, whether they were, you know, a really great person, or they were, you know, kind of a troublemaker, or you know, kind of rough in life. They always come through with this tremendous amount of love, and their reformation is underway. You know, they're forgiven for their way. They understand why they were the way they were in life, you know.
And it's not like you're asking the client, "Hey, did they have a receding hairline? Did they wear glasses?" No. None of that is part of this. It just
happens on the page. A matter of fact, part of my patter, if you will, is part of the way I begin my readings is don't ask me any questions. Please don't ask me any questions, you know, direct questions. Because what happens is we work in the imaginary mind, mm-hmm. as mediums. And imagine if you work in the imaginary mind and you have artistic ability, and spirit can utilize both those skills, then you too could do spirit art. You know, what you do is you work on these skills, which are mechanics. You know, how do you draw a face? And once you have the mechanics down, then spirit will utilize that with you in order to draw themselves. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a camaraderie or a partnership with spirit in order to draw the picture.
Yes.
In other words, okay. So, maybe come. And to show you that spirit is involved, I wanted to get to a picture here. This guy was cool. He was a police officer, but he had the long hair and stuff after. I'm trying to find the one which really, this lady sent back all these pictures, which was kind of cool. You know, she sent back the whole gamut. She was so happy. Just amazing. And then the little things like the Yankee hat, when I see the things of there's something somebody loved in their life and that they always wore, you know, that type of thing, it always that blows my mind and really gets me going, because I really believe that they're really showing who they are, you know.
Sure.
Okay, so this picture here, okay, is a picture I drew for a woman, and her husband was sitting on the couch to the side, and I was doing the reading for the woman, and talked about her mother. And so we got her mother, and so I drew a mother, and at the same time the husband was skeptical, you know. He's like one of these guys, like, you know, just sitting over here like, I can't believe I had a driver to get this thing done today, you know, like, what am I doing here, you know. He'd rather be home watching the game, you know. But all of a sudden his mother came through, and I said, well, you know, who's Helen or whatever the case may be, and he says well. And he didn't want to participate. He didn't want to. But I said, come on, you know who she is. It's your mom, right? And he goes, yeah, that's my mom. I said, well, she's here. So next thing I know, he's in tears because mom's there. And we're all in tears because it's just so beautiful to have all those people there. And then they looked at the picture when I was done. And he goes, well, I kind of sort of see, but not. And then she was looking at it and goes, well, it's kind of like my mom, but not quite. And then I said, well, you know, I'd be happy to try again for you folks, you know, but one at a time, but why don't you bring it home and see if it might be somebody else, you know. It could have been an aunt or something like that. We'll see. I apologize that it's not right today, but it's the best I can do, you know. Well, they brought it home and they put a mirror on the page. So they put a mirror and then took a picture this way. So I'm sorry, I got a wounded finger here, but they put a picture, they took the picture this way, and there's his mom, there's her mom. They put the mirror the other way. Whoa. And it was her mom. So you talk about spirit's influence.
Yes.
And their presence in the midst of it. That's not me. You know, that has nothing to do with my skills. This has everything to do with the fact that spirit showed up for both of them. That's mm-hmm. in the one picture. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
I love it. This it is a fantastic
cool.
story.
It was so cool. It was so, cool. It really was. So anyways, these are all the single drawings, but I started out, you know, and there's lots more of them, I suppose. You know, if you look through them.
Through the years,
yeah. And some that aren't so great. But they're likenesses, you know. It's interesting.
They're like, this is enough for recognition, yeah, to happen.
It is like that. It comes together. But I've gotten some wonderful responses and letters and from different people over the years, and it's just been remarkable. But these are an example of the multiple drawings. Mm-hmm. Where many family members come through, and items, you know, things like the person's car, the house, the storm that took the house, that type of thing. This one here, I don't know where the evidence is for this one, but there's a tremendous amount of evidence for this, including this carousel that was right next to their house growing up. So somehow I saw it and drew it in the midst of it all.
So with the multiple, were you engaged in the reading as you were doing the drawings?
What happens with these is I go to a much deeper place than when we're doing mediumship. We're in a mild trance state.
Yes.
I used to say to people, I'm going to go into a trance state. I was wrong. I didn't understand it enough, wasn't educated enough in this stuff of what might be happening. So I was misstating that fact, but that's what I believed at the time, which is that I'm going into a much deeper state of trance. What the universities had found when they tested me doing these was I was going into a hyper state, not a trance state. Trance state, your heart rate slows down, everything slows down, and you're really kind of in this almost a REM sleep almost. It's really deep, if you will. In this, when I do these, I go into a hyper state, my heart rate doubles. So it's like I'm exhausted when I'm finished with one of these. It's like running a race.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot physically on a medium to do the work that we do. Because every time we touch in with a piece of information or with a spirit, in some ways we can take an energetic hit.
Right. Yes. So these people lost their son. He had just gotten a yellow Volkswagen, his first car. He was 16. And there he is. And we had his name and everything. This is his uncle and aunt, and two of his uncles and his aunt, who are in spirit already. These are the people with the drawing. Mm-hmm. And they were devastated. That's my old office in the old coffee shop.
Oh, yeah.
You know, remember that when I had a mural on the wall and stuff?
Yes.
But this is way back when. And this gentleman here was actually a quite well-known artist, a musician from Mexico. So he had come up with his wife to have the reading. So many times other things happen too, where I believe that, you know, people might have seen this as a guide but the concepts or constructs in my head that came along with the information. So these are pretty bizarre, but everyone's named, everyone, you know, they all have their names, their what they did for a living, where they were. And you'll see that sometimes it looks like it's stretched or it's caricaturistic. Mm-hmm. And that's because my eyes were closed when I was doing these early drawings. I was just letting them do it.
And did you peek at all?
I didn't, when I'm in the first like 20 minutes of this thing, these are just scribbles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I'm finding them afterwards.
Uh-huh.
This was for the chief of Six Nations. Okay. Alan. And I didn't know he was the chief. He sat there and said, okay, you know, go ahead, do your thing. You know, it's like, oh my God. But I was up in Six Nations. Mm-hmm. And I've never had a more easier place to do readings. And I believe it's because most of the Native Americans believe in this. I mean, they believe in their ancestors being there, that they call upon them all the time for advice and things. And so it was very simple to do readings. But his grandfather, who is this man right here, is named Two Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
That is his. And the person I was doing the reading for, his Indian name is Two Horse.
Oh, there you go.
So it these things, and the Turtle Clan.
So the symbols came through very strongly. Came, mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And his grandfather's best friend was a colonel in the Canadian forces. So this is a traditional hat that I wouldn't know from the hole in the wall, but
you wouldn't know that. Just
interesting stuff, you know. Yeah. There's some evidence here where this is the boy that was killed on this tree. He ran in a four by four, you know, he ran it in up this tree, and the four wheeler flipped over on top of him. This boy here.
Now I'm noticing that the paper has a blue hue. Did you use blue on purpose, or is that?
I used a blue paper, sometimes gray like this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is there a reason that you chose that color?
So the pastels would show up better on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really the sense of it. So these were, I've done a lot of these over the years. I mean, just thousands, thousands of drawings.
And, so, and it's a wonderful thing that they can see that what you're trying to convey, the symbol interpretation that happens in this, and then also the reading that that becomes. And right. you know, as they get to see it for, come about, it's almost like they get to watch it cook, right?
Yeah, and it's, and watch it be prepared. Know, the interesting thing is with the new Zoom type readings is that I can use that second camera and they can watch me draw as I'm talking about the person. And usually as I talk about the person and their eyes come through, I can look into their eyes and have a deeper, more meaningful, more evidential conversation than just if I'm trying to figure out what's going on in my head. It actually is in front of me and I'm actually having a conversation with that person. That's why I said there's life in the picture, because I'm actually looking and having this conversation with the picture itself, which is really kind of interesting because it intensifies the information, which is yes. incredible to me. And obviously, you know, I suppose I can take credit for having worked so hard at getting this, and I continue to work hard. I feel like a, I feel like I'm still a novice. I still have to go and have so much more to learn, so much more to know. But by the same token, I can't take any credit for it when it comes to the presence of spirit and their insistence about using people like you and I to come through and show their love for their loved ones. And it's usually not about something mundane or, you know, little simple life baloney. It's more, it's about important things and really living life to its fullest. And they all come with that kind of a message. So mm-hmm. having been here, done that themselves and made the mistakes themselves, they have a much greater message for all of us.
That is a very, very true. I have another quick question regarding your spirit art. Sure. Are all of the faces, those who have passed, or do any of the living show up in that?
I have had the occasion of 36 times so far, and I'm keeping count because it, because we're trying to figure it out exactly. However, I have had a very, I would call it a rudimentary type of experiment that's been going on with it all. But I have drawn 36 living people quite accurately. In each one of those cases, we kind of tried to document down what was the commonality between these 36 different people, different from different parts of the world. What was the commonality? Was there a common denominator between all of them? And the one common denominator between all of them was, it was the last person that the person who died saw before they died. So in other words, I'm looking through the eyes, talk about blending with the spirit. I'm seeing the last person of my life, and that's who I'm drawing on the paper, is the last person I saw that happens to still be alive.
Right. Right. Okay. Beautiful. That's it. Yeah. That's
I have drawn one. Now, there's one glitch to that, and I haven't had it happen again, but I have drawn somebody who was in a coma and died after I drew the picture. But I drew them while they were in a coma. Which
and
was,
they were in an altered state and so about they're in an to altered step state. Off, they're as it were.
Probably already stepped into the spirit world, and it was just a matter of time before the body went, you see. So their spirit, which to me was this beautiful experience, because it showed me that the spirit is definitely separate from the body, you see, and that it is fully alive and fully well and fully present. But it, its vessel was, you know, an inanimate object now and not useful, but it still was very much present in its communication. So that was really
important. So additionally, to add on to that, when you do the multi-drawings, mm-hmm. then are some of those symbols associated with the present day rather than the past of the loved one?
Yes, it's important to me often in my readings to have information about the now, right? What is going on in real time? Yes. Where are you, and how can you show me your presence now. I'm not just reading memories out of somebody's mind or putting two and two together and saying, okay, well, they must have done this because they did this in life. So they must have, this must have happened to you and your dad back then. You know, putting two and two together is, it's a lot of guesswork. People can fake this work all the time that way. But in real-time conversation, like, you know, did you do this morning? He said you were doing this, and you know, something odd, something different, and then really have the answer correct. Or, you know, you're living on Carter Street now at 267. That's correct. I don't have that information. The only place I would get that information is from the spirit, you see, and that shows their presence around us in real time. Mm-hmm.
Because that also very much matters. This isn't just trying to go back to an archaeological dig. Right. That's the way I look at it. It's not just an archaeological dig of their past. It is a continuation of life and how they're showing up around us and what they're observing. And sometimes it can be mundane and sometimes it can be a big thing. Now, for some spirit artists, it'll show up on a certain part of the page, whether it's future or past. Does that happen for you, or is it all over the page?
With me, it's a matter of, I keep things in an organized fashion in my mind. Mm-hmm. So on the page, as I'm taking my notes, all the women are on the left, all the men are on the right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Things in the middle seem to be perhaps not family. The children's names will go with the family it belongs to. And there's kind of a way around the page, if you will. When I'm drawing the actual drawing, there really isn't a whole lot of that structure other than the face itself. In the multiple drawings, there seems to be a tendency for the items that I draw, say the car or the watch or the things, they tend to go right next to the person they belong to. Yeah. And that's not my doing. It's where I feel it should go. So it's more of a notion or a feeling, or like I intuitively know that this belongs to him or this.
So it's a divine knowing, and you're magnetically almost drawn to that portion of the
page. Exactly. Exactly.
And also the color choice. Can we talk a little bit about the color choice?
Colors, where a lot of my drawings are black and white, as far as the single drawings, I do try to put color into them because it's been insisted upon by spirit over time to have colors, you know, the color of the dress that they were buried in, the color of the suit they used to wear, the tie was important, you know, that type of thing. And I've drawn people of all walks of life and all different nationalities and different colors. That's important. You know, they'll tell me I was a light-skinned black person, or I was very, very dark, you know, from a certain part of Africa or a certain part of, and as I do drawings by telephone for years, I've been doing drawings around the world. So I never know who I'm talking to exactly, or what they're, you know, I have to know where they're from. And then sometimes I draw the person and I see the slant in the eyes, and now I know where they're from. You know, I can tell the different place in which they were in Southeast Asia because people look differently. Yeah. Where to us, when we're not familiar with it, oh yeah, they all look alike. And that's how prejudice comes about. But the fact of the matter is that they don't.
All right. But the background shows up in the pictures. And the colors have meaning, not just about the skin color, but also why they would want you to choose a red hat, like you gave the example, or why they would want a blue hat. Or
sometimes it's exacting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the colors are exacting. It's like, this is the hat I wore. Like the Yankee hat was a blue hat, and that's it. You know, and that's what I wore. That's okay. That's evidence. That's solid. That's exacting. Many times, color symbols, signs, those types of things, I call them silhouettes. Mm. Just a line can tell me something. Let me just switch the camera and I'll show you something, okay?
Sure.
Okay, so say I'm drawing somebody like this, you know, and I'm drawing this woman, and all of a sudden my pencil goes like this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's not a face.
That's right.
Okay.
That's a gourd.
That's a gourd. But to me, the first thing I see is I'm pregnant.
Oh, wow.
So, that. You know, the symbol may come that way, that simply.
Sure.
It doesn't, and that's a silhouette, I call it.
Sure.
A silhouette, like you can have somebody like this. And that's all you see.
Right.
But what I see is, I see a helmet, I see a soldier.
Right.
You see?
Yes, you can see the nose.
And yeah. And if I were to complete the picture, then, you know, then I would have that particular person there. But the silhouette is what I saw first and only. So the silhouette brings me to the exactness of it. The, you know, you might just draw an apple, you know? And I just feel like that's the thing coming through in my head. So I draw that apple and it becomes quite, but what does it mean? Oh yeah, he's from Manhattan. Okay, so I believe that the mind takes things in many, many, many paradigms and many different perspectives. And that's how we come about to see what really is going on.
Yes.
And we're, just like you said, when we're drawn to that certain, that item is drawn to that certain person in the picture, so too is the medium drawn to which one is the right answer. Which one makes sense? I could look at Apple and say, oh, did he own an Apple computer? Oh, he liked apples. Oh, he's a teacher. Oh, he's from Manhattan. That makes sense to me. Why does it make sense to me? Because I am blended with spirit. And when I hit the right one, it's going to feel right to me.
Yes. Your truth meter goes bling. That's the one.
Bingo.
Yes. And don't you feel that a lot of that is due to clear cognizance, that clear knowing, that divine knowing, soul sense, where
I think it's a clear knowing.
Boom.
I think it's not only a clear knowing, but I would venture to say in my own experience that it's because we do know each other. And we always have. That we are one. And I'm very much an advocate for the fact that if we are one, then that personal responsibility we talk about in spiritualism is really about being responsible for everyone else and responsible for others. And wouldn't, if we actually cared for everyone else as much as we care about our own survival, we would actually have a much more peaceful place. And I think it's possible. Maybe not in my lifetime, and people may say that I'm a little naive, but I think if we can help people to see the fact that we are interconnected in so many ways, and that we've known each other for millenniums, that we're not here to fight or to hurt, but to uplift and feel the genuine beauty of love between us, no matter who we are or where we're from, that may change the notions of these human conflicts and human, you know, competition and just prejudice and ignorance, if you will. If there is such a thing as evil, to me, it's ignorance. It's just a lack of knowledge and, you know, the nothingness, if you will, or jumping to conclusions. We really need to be consummate students of everything. And yeah, when we
of,
do that,
of life and that sacred union.
Right. Exactly.
And as mediums, that's what we bring, you know, every day, every time we do a reading, that sacred union with spirit and what they're trying to convey through the symbols, through the vision and the feeling and the knowing and all of the different special ways. And I think it's beautiful the way you've been able to translate it onto the page for so many people and that they can see that person on that page again In a different way than they would from a photograph, but especially because it's a process. There's a mediumship process that is associated with that, because a person could just, as you were showing that to us, go, yeah, that looks a lot like the photo, but there's a greater meaning for the actual client when right. they're in that, because they're just like, that person came through in the time that I had with Joe or another spirit artist. And I can see how it happened in real time, that my loved one was there in real time. And I think that's the big difference within mediumship and bringing evidence through.
Right, right. And there was a time when I looked at all this and said, you know, why me? You know, why me? Like, you know, why am I so weird? Why am I this? And it changed to, wow, look at this.
And you're grateful.
And then now it's like, why me? You know, why would you choose somebody like, but by the same token, I think that there are many people, you know, in the spirit art program that's ongoing right now. I mean, there are scores of people in that program that are better artists than I am. And some that are just prolific mediums for years that never drew, but now they think, well, maybe I can, and they're seeing it come true, that they can add this tangible evidence to the spoken evidence, mm-hmm. and to the physically experienced evidence, like the animation of the spirit, mm-hmm. and it's just incredible. And what I'm really hoping for in my teaching is to see people bring forth and insist upon the integrity of that, that they show the real deal, that there's no more baloney or manipulation or all this stuff that, you know, many times over the years people perceive us as because of the frauds in the world. This is more about those who are really sincerely trying to connect and make those connections and bring enough evidence to show the absolute possibility of the continuation of life. What more hopeful message can there be for any of us that after this life of many mistakes, many wonderful things as well, that there is actually more to it? There is so much more, and so much more to experience. That life goes on, and that the interaction between this experience, this life experience in this world, as opposed to the one in spirit, that an interaction is a valuable, I would say, experience or education for us to evolve the way we live in this life. Mm-hmm. And mediumship is often looked at as, oh, they always talk to the dead, they're about the dead. And I'm insistent to say, no, that's not, we're not talking about dead people at all. Not at all.
Exactly.
We're talking about life and life. That's it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And about honoring life and honoring this life for the time we have, and eat up every minute we can.
Yes, savor
you know,
it.
Fill it and savor it no matter what, you know. And I look, I've done counseling over the years, and young people who want to commit suicide, I said, why would you want to kill somebody you don't even know yet? You know, take your time. Mm-hmm. You know, take your time. That's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. You know, you've got to really kind of begin to live rightly within yourself. And often we're so caught up in impressing other people. You know, I want them to like me, or I want them to love me, or I want them to, we're so caught up in that we don't understand the tremendous value we have in just not being selfish or self-centered, but in loving the world we have and the life I have, and seeing how interesting it really fits into the bigger picture, and how it maneuvers in the bigger picture to help others, to really entice others to be better all the time. Mm-hmm. When we start to see ourselves as valuable, then we start to move forward in such a great way and open up to the spirit world and to who they really are to us. See.
Yes. So it's an encouragement to gain confidence in your own connection with God and the awareness of the divine and how it's working in your life. And it's part of the magic and the meat of mediumship, I feel. Right. So it's beautiful. Exactly. Oh, well, we really appreciate you sharing your spirit art with us today and your insights into the world of spirit. It's really beautiful to spend this time with you. And I know it's been valuable for everybody to see how that works. And thanks for letting us into that world with you for a bit today.
Well, thanks for having me, Willa. Always. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I love your show. You
do. Oh, thanks so much.
And thanks for doing it for everybody. That's really fantastic. God bless you.
I appreciate that so much. And for those of you who want more information about Joe, you can look at his website, josephshield.com. He has information about his online classes. And speaking of online classes, I have those of my own. I'll be resuming the Monday Night Circles in February, but I have other online classes that I'll be running throughout. So take a look at willowwhite.com. You can find out more information there or on my Facebook page, Willow White Medium. Thanks for everybody to being here. And thanks again, Joe. It's been fabulous. See you next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Peace, everybody.